The devastating earthquake that hit Haiti in January 2010 claimed 250,000 lives and left 1.2 million homeless. The Western world sent money, troops, and volunteers to give immediate help, and 2 months later, along with the Haitian government, established a commission that promised to rebuild the country. In his documentary, Fatal Assistance, filmmaker Raoul Peck reveals that 3 years after the earthquake, Haiti is still far from recovering, while the international aid has not accomplished as much as it had promised and has now largely dried up. Fatal Assistance will be shown tonight at 7 p.m. at the IFC Center as part of the Human Rights Watch Film Festival, followed by a Q&A with the director, and I'm very pleased that it has brought Raoul Peck back to our show. Hi.
Hi, nice to see you again.
Now, you were born in Haiti, grew up in Africa, Europe, and here in the United States. And a few years ago, you came here to talk about Patrice Lumumba. You'd made a film about him. So how much of a relationship do you have with Haiti these days? You still have family there?
Well, I've always been very intimately linked with Haiti, even in Congo. I mean, there is a great colony of Haitian in Congo because we left for political reason. And so this community was always, you know, I grew up with it wherever I was. In fact, my Creole, I learned it abroad and not really in Haiti. And then from 86, after Duvalier left, I was able to be as often as I could there.
Did you know right away after the earthquake hit that you want to make a documentary about this?
No.
Because you've also been making feature films.
Like most Haitians, right away, those who could just went back. I found a place in a military, French military airplane, and within a few days I was back in Haiti just to help, just to be there. I have been a civil servant before, so I came back to be at the disposal of the government.
And I'm sure you had no idea that you were going to devote 2 years to
making it. Not at all. That was decided a few months later when I felt something was wrong. And I feel very uncomfortable. Most of my friends didn't think we were doing anything of importance. And then that's when I decided to do what I do best, which was making a movie.
Well, some of the most respected organizations in the world showed up immediately. What was that first assistance like?
Well, it was from the get-go a disaster, a communication disaster, a coordination disaster. And as one of the people in the film, Priscilla Phelps, say, you know, there have been so many conferences after the tsunami, after Katrina, and resolution have been taken how to deal with such catastrophe. And everybody and the people who were the best example in those catastrophes before, when it came to Haiti, they just forgot all the resolution, and it was just chaos.
Well, a lot of money was collected. How was it distributed?
Well, unfortunately, there are way too many intermediaries, and the people don't get directly the money. And today, the numbers I read the report of the special envoy office led by Bill Clinton, the numbers are incredible, catastrophic. Like less than 0.6% of the money went through the government.
Where is it gone, do we know?
Well, a lot of the international organization themselves, each time, because they are the one giving the projects, supervising the projects. So the money goes through them, a big part, like 40% of the $6 billion that were supposedly spent went through them. But they keep, you know, like as a rule, 8 to 12 to 15% of the money. For operating costs. And then by the time, you know, they need, of course, lots of cars, they need villas, they need a lot of things that for the population are totally unnecessary.
Now, why didn't the Haitian government have access to the funds?
Because they don't have the leverage to have access to the fund. You have to be to mind that people who gives the money, states, they want the money to in priority goes to their own companies, to their own people. They want to be the ones who decide where the money goes. And again, the numbers is totally disastrous. You know, less than 0.6% went through the normal government of Haiti.
How many NGOs were there when you started, and how many are there today?
Well, Haiti have always been a place for NGO works. And it goes in hand with the change of strategy of development policies and as well of the weakness of the state itself for many other reasons. And basically, the numbers are between 4,000 to 4,500 type of entities that you can call NGOs, which include international organization and church organization and private organizations.
What about the UN? There's the MINUSTA from the UN. I would assume that they would have done good work.
Well, as you know, the UN is a conglomerate of many different interests. And so it's the big, big elephant in the room. And the UN is, I mean, the last big scandal is the cholera epidemic. And as of today, the UN still don't want to say that how responsible they was as well of this terrible tragedy.
The cholera epidemic, which was claiming something like 50 lives a day, was the result of some troops that had been brought in from, was it Nepal?
I don't want to pinpoint any particular nationalities. It's just that they were part of the UN troops and they did not take the necessary adjustment or organization to prevent that kind of tragedy.
And what's happening with the cholera today? Has it been has the epidemic been abated?
No, it's it takes years to get rid of that kind of virus, and now the rainy season will start. It's going to go up again, and the thing that's another testimony of how disorganized and how this big machine function. Now there is a big plan somehow to hide the responsibilities. A $2 billion plan to eradicate cholera in Haiti for the next 10 years. But what they don't say is that there is a shorter plan that will cost less money, and within a year you can block most of the epidemic. But they prefer to go to the 10 years plan, and basically they accept the fact that each year a certain amount of victims will die. But it's, of course, this big machine is in place. It's about a lot of money. So everybody's geared up for those 10 years instead of concentrating on being active for this coming year.
Who's running that, the Interim Haiti Recovery Commission?
No, the Interim Recovery Commission don't exist anymore. Uh-huh. The mandate was not renewed by the Haitian parliament, and it's a dead entity.
My guest is Raoul Peck, the noted filmmaker whose latest film is a documentary called Fatal Assistance. It's screening tonight at 7 p.m. at the IFC Center as part of the Human Rights Watch Film Festival. This is WNYC, WNYC.org. I'm Leonard Lopate. Well, there was a lot of debris in Port-au-Prince, the capital. Many people left homeless. Even today, I just heard a news report, 350,000 people remain in tent cities. It was a lot worse. And the government says that by the time it will be leaving office, they will have found housing for everyone. Do you believe that's true?
I don't think that's really true, because first of all, a lot of people who at last left the camps, we don't know where they went. A lot of them went back where they were before in very difficult condition. Sometimes, they were offered money, basically, sometimes $200 to $500. And it's a lot of money for some of them. But, of course, you can live on it for 6 months, but it doesn't give you a new home.
Well, could some of the money that had been donated been spent on building new housing?
It could have if it was better organized and if there was not so many intermediaries. Even those tea shelters that were built in the hundreds. Basically, that's what we said in the film as well. They say it costs 2,000. My numbers are they cost around 8,000 to 12,000 a piece. Mm. And imagine you give that to any poor Haitian family. For even $2,000, they can be a much better house which fits their real needs.
But also building, of course, provides jobs. Did Haitians the Haitian people wind up benefiting from the reconstruction?
Not at all. I mean, buildings, if you're building a hospital, if you're building factories, yes, maybe there are jobs, but those are not real jobs you're creating. Those are momentarily small, low-wage jobs.
So what is the situation now for the people who are still living in the shanty towns and the tent cities? Have they been protesting?
Well, right now there is a sort of pacification, and people are not happy. But a lot of money is still circulating. The new government is spending a lot of money, part of it from the Petrocaribe funds from Venezuela. That's around $300 to $400 million. That's buying the national peace. But I think there is right now, those are numbers I got this week. We have 6 million Haitian of the 10 million population who don't eat every day. Those are alarming numbers. We had a very drought season, so agricultural products are very low. So there are regions in Haiti right now who are in their problems.
Isn't Haiti, doesn't it have an endemic problem because it has droughts and then it has a rainy season and it's very susceptible? It's always seems to be in the path of hurricanes and other problems.
Well, as is Florida, it's not a problem. You know, Haiti has a very complicated history, and part of it is not responsibility of the Haitians. By the way, since of birth, don't forget, Haiti in 1804 was boycotted by all nations. Because those nations, including the United States,
Washington was upset that the slaves had rebelled.
Exactly. So that was the state. 30 years. We were boycotted economically 30 years after we had waged a war. And so you can't create a nation, you can't create an economy under those conditions. So the West have punished us for centuries now.
But not more recently. A Haiti toolkit was developed in order to create more infrastructure. Has that been put into effect? The new government was elected 6 months after the hurricane, and they made all sorts of promises. They were going to improve the infrastructure. They were going to build the housing. Would the alternative have been any better?
Well, you know, there is a lot of rhetoric. There is a lot of communication in place right now to sell a certain idea of a new Haiti. But you can't do magic. You know, you need people, you need time, you need money. And the Haitians don't control the money.
Well, the former Haitian Prime Minister Jean-Max Bellerive said that when it comes to international aid and intervention, the line between intrusion and aid is very subtle. What did he mean by that?
Well, I would even use the word subtle. It's quite offensive. It's quite obvious. In the film, we give an example of how the groups of ambassadors who are from the main countries, United States, France, Canada, Brazil, and they basically were ready to topple the democratically elected president, to put him on an airplane to leave the country because there were fear that the election will become a disaster. So you have, and we were there, we filmed, we were outside the building when they were having this meeting. And basically, they were planning a coup d'etat. And so we are way beyond endurance. It's really, a lot of those ambassadors are playing vice governors of Haiti. It's like the Haitian lost totally the control over their own country.
You ask in your documentary, what would have happened if the money had been divided among the affected families? So what do you think would have happened?
I'm pretty sure it would be way better, way better. As Priscilla Phelps says in the film, of course there will be money that would get in the wrong pockets, but we would, if we could have used those billions to give directly to the population, to the neighborhoods, we would have real result.
Sometimes a disaster like this is an opportunity to correct all of the problems of the past. And that's what could have happened here. And I'm sure many people thought that's what was going to happen. Is it simply that corruption just took care of most of the money?
Well, that's somehow a dream. And if you say corruption, if you are willing to put everybody on that corruption problem, I would say yes, because corruption is mostly from the donor countries, because the Haitians themselves have no access to that money or very little. But here in the United States, part of the corruption, you call it lobbying, you know. But for me, it's corruption, and it's about hundreds of millions of corruptions. And so it's a long conversation. And the film tried to revert the camera in the other direction, you know, because if you accuse all the time the local people of corruption, it's a way of tell them to shut up and you can't speak until you clean up in your country. But if we are all willing to clean up, including in France, including in the United States, you know, who are the businessmen profiting from this lots of money? Who are the NGOs profiting? Who are the international organizations doing business as well? You know, if everybody is around the table, let's talk about corruption.
Where are you going to be making your next film? Are you going to continue working in Haiti, or you back to
Well, I
Africa,
always or? Alternate. I do projects in Haiti. I have a next project already written, and
that's a feature film.
Production, a feature film that takes place after the earthquake. But I'm also dealing with a project about John Brown in the United States. That's one of the big projects we are actually developing, and of course in Europe as well. I have projects.
And this film, Fatal Assistance, is screening tonight at 7 p.m. at the IFC Center as part of the Human Rights Watch Film Festival. My great thanks to its creator, director, Raoul Peck, for being on our show again.
Thank you for inviting me.
And Raoul Peck will be doing a Q&A tonight following the 7 p.m. screening of Fatal Assistance at the IFC Center, which is at 323 6th Avenue, also called Avenue of the Americas.